I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is the Robert Lundberg Show, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Anthony, who's better right now, Tom Brady or Ryan Tannehill?
Right now, boy, yeah. Tannehill has been really, really good this season, but I still have to go with Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and listen, all these great athletes and all these heroes, they always have one they have one great performance left in them. I will say this, I don't know what to expect from Brady and that Patriots offense, but I will say this, I do believe in that Patriots defense. And I don't know, I still believe that home field advantage in this situation does matter, which the Patriots do have, and I think the experience does matter. So I think somehow, some way, they find a way to win this game tonight.
I agree. But the fact that you can even ask that question is kind of absurd on its surface, right? Like, it's like, wait, Brady or Tannehill? People would laugh in your face if you had said that before the season. Albert Schulte tweets in, it may end soon, but not against the Titans. Belichick and Brady will find a way to squeak out the victory. 855-212-4227, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news, there's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance.
And just one more on Tannehill here. Tannehill, since he took over midway through week 6, completed 70.3% of his passes while leading the NFL in passer rating and yards per attempt. So he's been excellent.
He's also a really good athlete. I mean, he can get out and run too. I mean, that's the one thing about the modern day quarterback that is almost a prerequisite. I mean, if you look at the quarterbacks who are playing in the playoffs, only Brady and Breeze, and really, I guess, Kirk Cousins to an extent, you know, Brady and Breeze are legends of the game, but they're the only, along with Cousins, the only guys who don't get out and run or at least buy time moving out of the pocket. Deshaun Watson, Josh Allen, Ryan Tannehill, Russell Wilson, obviously, who's a legend of the game too, but an architect in many ways. You know, he might be the guy that a lot of people have patterned their games after, including, you know, the likes of Kyler Murray and Joe Burrow. Carson Wentz can get out and move. Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes. I mean, it's all over the place across the league. Let's go to Eric in Sacramento. Eric, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Hey, man. Love the show.
Thank you.
Hey, finally, we get to see the end of New England. I mean, I can't wait for this game tonight. I think Tannehill, I think it's set up perfect for him. He's peaking at a perfect time. The guy's been dealt a bad hand year after year in Miami. And when this guy's given a chance and he's healthy, the guy wins games. I don't know what his record is exactly, but I know it's got to be pretty good. The guy wins games when he's given a chance and when he's healthy.
Well, and I mean, what do you mean by given a chance and healthy? Because, I mean, he played in...
Well, because it seems like every year he gets a hot start. Starts off good, and then he gets injured. And then it kind of just drops off from there. I just look at it. I don't know what it is, but I bet you he's got a pretty darn good starting.
He's 49-49.
Is he really 49-49?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I just – overall, I think he's peaking at the right time is what I think right now. And I think they're built. They're built for the playoffs, for the run game, their defense. A.J. Brown is a beast. I don't care who's covering him. Gilmore can cover him all day. I don't care. That dude's a beast. And if they want to take away Derrick Henry – they better watch what they're asking for because Tannehill is dropping dimes right now.
Well, that's what I think is going to happen. I think the Patriots will take away Derrick Henry. Now, the question is, if they take away Derrick Henry, is Tannehill going to beat them? And if Tannehill's going to beat them, then the Titans are probably going to win that game, right? Like, if Tannehill is able to air it out and hit A.J. Brown, as you mentioned, who's averaging 20 yards per reception, then New England could be in some trouble. And maybe that is the case. I mean, circumstances are very important. I talk about it all the time. But, you know, Brady, if Brady doesn't wind up in New England, does he have the same career that he's had? Not taking anything away from him. I'm not trying to diss him. But it's hard to imagine his career goes the same if he wasn't on the Patriots. You know, if Kobe Bryant isn't traded for Vlade Divac and he winds up in Charlotte, does he have the same career? If Tim Duncan wasn't on the Spurs, does he have the same career? If instead he was in Minnesota like Kevin Garnett? You know, you flip those guys. Are they thought of differently? Yeah, the circumstances are important. And Ryan Tannehill did not start his career in the best circumstances. Now he seems to be in a good fit for him. And he's playing really well. But there's a difference between doing it in the regular season when he's done it and doing it against the Bill Belichick coach team in New England. We will see. We will see. I mean, it'd be awesome. It'd be a cool story. I'd love to see it. But yeah, I do think, you know, Derrick Henry allows a lot of things to go for them, led the league in rushing. I expect the Patriots to contain him and stop him. But beyond that, you know, you can only stop so many things. If Tannehill shows out, then the Patriots could be in trouble. I just have trouble picking against New England at home against the 9-7 team. Even if that 9-7 team, you know, looked better than that over the course of the end of the season. I mean, what would their record be if Tannehill had started? But you could make that case. You could make that argument. And I'll be happy to be proven wrong. But they got to prove it to me. That's the bottom line point. They got to prove it to me. They haven't proven anything. New England has proven everything. 855-212-4227. Let's go to Spencer in Arlington, Texas. Spencer, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, I just listened to you, and you were saying about being proven wrong. 2 years ago, my Eagles had proved themselves to be what they were. And now, this year, people are still saying that they're not a team to win with all the injuries. Didn't we have a bunch of injuries last year and the year before last?
Yeah, different quarterback, though.
yeah, but we still have pretty much the same defense. And I seen some action out of Jim Schwartz on that sideline last week that he normally don't, I mean, make those kind of, I mean, he was really upset a little bit when he got a came over there to the sideline. I thought he's going to have that defense up and ready for Wilson Sunday.
Well, I mean, but Russell Wilson's a real challenge, right? I mean, he doesn't worry you?
No, because their offensive line is about as banged up as ours is. And also, Marshawn Lynch is not coming off his couch back ready to play. The way we stopped that run with Barkley and Zeke Elliott, I mean, I think Zeke Elliott got, 47 yards? We're going to be ready to stop that run tomorrow. And also, their passing game, I don't think I'm worried about our D-back. And I'm not really worried about them that much if we can hear them get to Wilson.
Yeah, look, I mean, as far as Marshawn Lynch, I don't think he's even the running back you need to worry about. It's the rookie in Seattle who looked good. I think his name is Travis Homer. He had a really good game against San Francisco. We forget how good a team San Francisco is. So Seattle's banged up, and you wonder if their identity is taken away as a result of it. But Homer came in 10 carries, 62 yards on the ground, 5 catches, 30 yards in the game last week. And that's the thing about running backs. When you mentioned Ezekiel Elliott, one of the pushbacks against him getting the deal that he did was that running backs aren't worth that. And that's not really because there aren't good running backs. It's because there are so many good running backs. That's really what, I mean, the position has changed and evolved a little bit. So fewer teams are based around the running game. That's point one. And point two is, there are just so many guys who can effectively do that. I mean, you know it, right? If you see a player get hurt, and this is kind of sick, but if you see a player get hurt, what's the first thing you do, a running back? You go pick up their backup. You don't need to know that person's name. You just go get them because you assume they're going to perform given the opportunity. Travis Homer could rush for 1,500 yards next year. Would you be stunned? I wouldn't. Who was Carson before he was Carson? Wait, wasn't he a seventh round pick? Something like that? So we'll see. I mean, maybe the Seahawks have somebody who's ready to step in and run. That's a fascinating game to me. Because, again, I trust Russell Wilson more than any other quarterback in the playoffs. But I also like Philly at home. You know, Philly seems to have gotten a little bit of a rhythm going in the last few weeks, having won that division. They've been super banged up, of course, over the course of the season. But they've now won, I think, four in a row. All division games, though, right? Like, since that Miami loss, they've won four in a row. But those wins are New York twice, Washington, and Dallas. Seattle, even if they're banged up, even if they're, you know, they have a small margin for error, that's a different team. That's a different sort of team that they're going to be facing, and definitely a different QB that they're going to be facing, because Russell Wilson is one of the few guys who is truly special, and he can make it happen on his own. The game needs to be close for that to take place, but if it's close down the stretch, then I'll take Seattle in that one. But I could see Philly, you know, with that crowd behind them, getting off to a good start. And who knows, maybe they get healthy after that. That's the other intriguing game to me, aside from New England and Tennessee.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show.
It is The Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio, talking NFL playoffs. Of course, they kick off this afternoon, evening. Comes up fast, doesn't it? Really does. Maybe that's why they won 17 or 18 games. I don't know. I'd never ask players to play another game. I mean, one game seems like a lot, but it does go by quickly this season. It's the quickest season in sports, for sure. One of the reasons probably the NFL is as popular as it is. You know, it feels scarce. It feels like a resource that can be tapped rather than the comparably, you know, marathon-like regular seasons of baseball and basketball, where the leverage of each game is less and less. 855-212-4227, Texans, Bills. Who do you like in that one? Patriots, Titans. Could it be the end of the Patriots dynasty? Will it be on display in primetime tonight? Vikings, Saints, and Seahawks, Eagles. 855-212-4227. Jay in New England. Jay, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
You got it.
You know, I'm driving up here in New England. It's, you know, it's real early. It's raining. It's cold. You know, you never really know what the weather's going to bring up here, too. So you got to play that into account when you're talking about the Patriots and playing in Foxborough. You know, and like you said, make that point about it's a more of a sprint kind of game. You know, I remember sitting there, you know, and I'm on my way to a wrestling meet right now up here. So I would urge people too. That's a good sport this time of year. Get out and watch some college wrestling, some high school wrestling. We wrestle for cystic fibrosis. So, you know, check that out too. But Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, I remember sitting there that Super Bowl, they were down 28-3 and, you know, no one thought they could do it. And I was sitting there thinking, it's unlikely, probably not going to happen. But if anyone's going to do it, it's going to be this team. It's going to be, you know, these group of guys. And you can never count them out. So, you know.
To be honest, that's the moment. If, you know, I said before, I don't need to be the one to call the end of the Patriots dynasty. That's the moment I thought it might be done at halftime of that game. You know, just getting blown out the building in the Super Bowl. That felt like it might be the end, and obviously it was not.
Right, and they always rise to the moment. Tom Brady and then Bill Belichick, you know, when Tom Brady said, you know, what did he say to Kraft when he was drafted? This I'm the best decision you've ever made for this organization. I mean, how are we going to sit there and all of a sudden go send him to, you know, Cleveland or Dallas or, you know, even if you put him on a good squad, you know, like Tennessee? You know, why would you? That just doesn't make any sense. And, you know, he could go. You know, he could, maybe. I mean, but I don't know. It just doesn't – that one of that just doesn't feel right.
I don't think it makes sense for anybody, really. I mean, the problem is, does New England have the heir apparent to Brady in-house right now? Probably. I mean, probably not. We could see, you know, when Garoppolo was there, they did. And I think Bill Belichick made that case. I mean, I really do believe the reports that Belichick wanted Garoppolo to be the guy. You know, he thought Garoppolo was good enough, and he knows, you know, eventually the Brady thing was going to end, and he kind of, you know, there's an ego thing. He kind of wanted maybe the credit, the lion's share of credit for what's going on. So I think at that point, the Bill Belichick did seriously consider moving on. But now, I don't know, you know, what happens to New England. It instead of them not missing a beat, I think you could see the Patriots, you know, go into a real tailspin at the end here and have a full-on rebuild until they can find a quarterback and some structure. For Brady, I just don't see the upside either. I mean, the only upside for Brady playing somewhere else is there's not a single word you could say about the guy if he goes somewhere else at 42 years old and has success. But the downside is tremendous, because if he goes somewhere else and flames out, it would almost certainly be because of his age and where he is at in his career, but it would add fuel to the idea that Brady's success has been dependent on Bill Belichick's system and the Patriot way, if you will. Jake in Columbia, South Carolina. Jake, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. How are you, Jake?
Good, good. I got two quick things. One thing you talked about before the break was that uneasiness with the Eagles. I think that comes from Doug Peterson's ability to game plan and get the best out of his guys. You talk about Boston Scott and, you know, Nick Foles a couple of years ago. The second thing I would say is, what does Ryan Tannehill's rise this year tell us about Adam Gase? He's supposedly this quarterback guru. Now, I'm no Jets fan. I'm just saying he had Kenyon Drake last year, Devontae Parker, and he had Ryan Tannehill. All three guys seemingly are, you know, pretty good at their position. How is that guy still perceived as head coach worthy in the NFL? And I'll shut up and listen. I'm just very curious about this.
You know, I don't have a great answer for you. Anthony, Jets fan, what do you think of Adam Gase?
You're not getting me to show any kind of support for Adam Gase. So,
would you have fired him?
I would have personally. Again, they finished the season strong, and they did a lot much better in the second half of the season. But I am not a fan of Adam Gase, and I don't think that he's going to wind up winning anything with the Jets. So, yeah, I'm the wrong person to ask. I don't like him. I still don't think he's a good head coach. Although, again, the Jets did have a strong finish to the season.
But how much of that was their defense? I mean, like, that's the thing, I guess, about Gase. He's the caller referenced it. He's an offensive guru who's never had an offense. You know, that's what I don't understand. Where does the reputation come from if the performance and the results aren't there? So I think that my two biggest issues with Gase are, one, that reputation seems to exceed the actual reality. And then two, he does not present himself very well. And in New York, that kind of matters. I mean, it matters everywhere, but it kind of especially matters in New York because you just have more media and you just have more, you know, opportunities to be on camera or to be in quotes or whatnot. And Gase almost seems offended by the notion that someone would dare talk to him or question him, you know, and that's not going to fly for very long without, I mean, especially if you're not having success, it's not going to fly at all. It's going to lead to your demise.
He had the 1 year in Denver there with Peyton Manning that everybody wants to give him credit for. But Peyton Manning,
you know,
it's like,
I mean, yeah, I could probably coach Peyton Manning, you know, and I say that not because I have any faith in my ability to coach, but Peyton Manning was kind of a coach in many ways. You know, Peyton Manning sort of got it done himself. So, I'm not giving him offensive genius credentials based on the performance of Peyton Manning, who, no matter who the offensive coordinator or the coach was going to perform. And Gase just, he's just got he's very abrasive. He's very abrasive in his public persona and his attitude. And you could probably credit, I would credit a lot of the Jets' turnaround to what Greg Williams did on the other side, where it didn't matter who was playing on that defense, they were competitive. And the Jets did finish the season out strong, but it wasn't the kind of thing that made me think, oh, what Gase is doing is clicking, more so how the defense played. And we'll see. But, yeah, I wouldn't feel tremendous about the Jets' head coaching position right now. And it is one of the stranger things that he is considered this offensive guy when I can't remember him commanding a high-powered offense.
And Gase, he acts like Bill Belichick without the success.
Yeah, I mean, forget even. Like, it would be one thing if he had some success. You know, you don't have to be Belichick, but, you know, give me something. 7-9, there it is. I'm hanging my hat on 7-9.
Well, Peyton Manning's to blame because Peyton Manning was the one that called the Jets, and he heavily endorsed Adam Gase. He told the Jets, you need to hire this guy.
Maybe because Adam Gase just let him do whatever he wanted, and Peyton Manning ran wild. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. NFL playoffs kick off today. You can weigh in on any of those games. Of course, we focused a little bit on Tennessee and New England. You know, the former Gase protege, Ryan Tannehill, balling out all of a sudden. Would you actually take Tannehill over Brady in a playoff game? Buffalo against Houston, I don't know what to think of that game. I like New Orleans over Minnesota. And Seattle and Philly really intrigues me as well.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
Wait, what? What did he say? Did I hear that right? He's insulting my looks? Come on, man. I got to be one of the best-looking guys in radio. I can show you. Just follow me on Twitter. You'll see my face on, you know, camera or some other places, you know. 855-212-4227. We're talking NFL playoffs, not my looks. Though if you'd like to compliment them, that's fine. You can call me ugly as well if you wish, as long as it's in good spirit and good fun. I had somebody call me a clown on the air the other day. You know, like, that's kind of out of pocket, right? Like, what compels someone to pick up a telephone and then call in someone and call them a clown? It's amazing the muscles that people get behind keyboards and telephones. And by the way, I'm such a clown that you're wasting, you only get one of these lives, buddy. And I don't even remember who this person is and whatever. You know, you only get one of these lives. You're wasting precious time interacting with this person that you feel is such a clown. And I don't even think I said anything clownish. I don't even know why I'm talking about it right now. But there you have it. We're talking NFL playoffs. They get started today. Buffalo at Houston, Tennessee at New England, Minnesota at New Orleans, Seattle at Philadelphia. How excited are you for this year's NFL playoffs? I feel like this NFL season is just a better product than it's been in recent years. There was a little hiccup at the beginning of the season with the officiating and the way the game was going to get called. But I think because it feels a little fresher this year, people are extra excited. And when I say fresher, it's because the page has turned on the quarterbacks a little bit. When you have Lamar Jackson doing what he's done this year, not only is it a tremendous accomplishment, but he's exciting to watch. And then Patrick Mahomes doing what he did last year and being in the playoffs in the spot that he is this year, having already established himself. And you have guys like Watson, another guy fun to watch. Russell Wilson is the old guard, but he's still fun to watch. Josh Allen's a new kid on the block. What's Tannehill going to do? You know, not to mention you've got a couple of the guys who have been there and done that still there in Breeze, Rodgers, and Brady, of course. So it just feels like that the product is fresher and better this year, and I imagine that will reflect itself in the excitement that people have for the playoffs. Not that they're not always excited for the playoffs, but I do feel a little bit more buzz around the NFL this year, a little bit more of an excitement when it comes to what's going to happen this postseason. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. Let's go to Joel in Fort Walton Beach, Florida. Joel, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, thanks, Robin. I got two things for you. But before I get to that, what you just said in that monologue right there about the old guard versus the new guard, that's why I'm excited. I'm glad that you brought that up. And I think that's going to be awesome because, realistically, if you look at what's going to happen in the Super Bowl, I truly believe it's going to be Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes on the AFC side. And then in the NFC side, I believe it's going to be Breeze or Rodgers. So the new school versus the old school, I love it. That's you're so right with that. I'm glad you brought that up. But let me get to my two points. First, on the Patriots and what's going to happen with the Titans. As much as I want to see the Patriot dynasty end, Ryan Tannehill is 0-6 in Foxborough. Yeah, he's won four times against the Patriots, but never in Foxborough. Tom Brady, he may be getting older, but it's the playoffs. It's the hood. It's Tom Brady. You know, it's something that the Patriots do well. Yes, they haven't had to play in wild card weekend in 10 years, but you're not going into Foxborough, especially with the way the weather's going to be, and you're going to beat Tom Brady. I believe the dynasty is dead, though, but I don't think it fully ends this week. I think it ends next week when they have to play the Chiefs. So that's why I'm going with New England. I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be within a touchdown, but I think Tom Brady comes up and plays the big game today, and I think Sony Michel, he's averaged over 100 rushing yards in the last three playoff games, so I'm going to go with them and the Patriots. And then with the Bills and the Texans, I love Josh Allen, Robin. I love him. I love what he's doing. I love how he can be mobile. I love how he finds ways to make plays. And I think that defense is going to be the mitigating factor to stop Deshaun Watson. So I'm going with the Patriots and the Bills, and then I'm going with the Saints and the Seahawks this weekend. Love your show, Robin. Thanks for taking my call, man.
No, I appreciate it. We almost have the same picks. The one I'm a little undecided about is Philly and Seattle. But otherwise, we've got the same selections. As far as, yeah, Brady and them against Tannehill, I couldn't agree more. I mean, maybe it's a stay of execution for the Patriots dynasty. And that there's a couple things that do stand out, though. They did lose to the Dolphins last week, right? And that stat you just referenced, but the fact that they haven't played in Wild Card Weekend in 10 years is incredible. That's one of the, you know, I heard that, I think it was last night I heard that, and it was legitimately taken aback. Not that it should be that surprising given what the Patriots have done, but it just, you know, you would think you forget one year, right? Like, we don't all have, like, perfect memories. You would think in this whole Patriots run, one of those years it came where they didn't have as great a year and they you know, turned it on in the playoffs, or, you know, one of those years they weren't as good and they won the first round of the playoffs and they lost in the second round of the playoffs. You know, they haven't played in Wild Card Weekend in a decade. A decade. And again, not because they missed, you know, the playoffs. They've been there every year. They just had a bye every single time since then. So things are different for New England in that sense. That's a big difference. I mean, it's hard to overstate how big a difference that is. Not only do you have one more chance to lose, but you have one more game you have to play. Playing a football game when the opponent that you're facing next week did not play a football game. And it's one of the more rewarding advantages in sports when it comes to a regular season, is getting a bye in such a physical collision sport like football. 855-212-4227. Let's go to Jeff in Dallas. Jeff, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, boss. Hey, two quick things. One is a non-Dallas Cowboy fan living in Dallas. I want to applaud you for being one of the few national NFL media guys or anybody who covers NFL that is not talking about Jason Garrett, the coaching job. They're not even a playoff team, and it just drives me crazy that they're still in the news cycle.
I have to get to it at some point, but here's my thing with that, Jeff. Like, what else is there to say? I mean, the guy was supposed to be fired on Thanksgiving. Then he's supposed to be fired the next week against the Bears. People have been talking about it ad nauseum since then. So you're talking about November to January. People have been talking about the same thing. It's not like I have anything new to bring to the table there.
Oh, I know. Like I was telling the guy that answered the call, they have talk sports radio down here talking about conspiracy theories because Belichick 20 years ago bumped into Jerry Jones at a ski resort talking about possibly – when he, you know, after Belichick got fired Cleveland, hey, don't forget about me, I can coach. And, you know, there's speculation that if Bill loses this week, he may be out, just leave New England based on what you said about Garoppolo and all that, knowing that Brady's done, and come here. And that makes me kind of laugh. Then they talk about Josh McDaniels coming here. It's just, it's crazy. But, I mean, it's like there's 5 million Dallas Cowboy fans staring at the Frisco Star, waiting for, you know, puffs of black smoke to see, and they're losing their mind out here. But you are 100% right, though, about the old guard, new guard. I mean, I may get blamed by saying this, but I think two of the least desirable quarterbacks to have going into this playoff run, and you're going to probably disagree, would be Brady and would be Rodgers. Both are getting older. Rodgers had a horrible Aaron Rodgers year statistically. My Lions had him going up until the last 2 minutes of the game. We held him under 50% completion. It's been like that all year. So, you know, your Lamar's, your Mahomes, those are, I mean, I don't even know if that's the new guard. They may be the new standard. What do you think?
Oh, I'm 100% in agreement. We're not disagreeing. If you're giving me the quarterbacks I'd take going into the playoffs, just the quarterbacks, it's Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes. Not necessarily in that order, but it's those three guys easily. Without even a hesitation, a thought. I'd take any of those guys and be thrilled with it. I mean, Lamar Jackson was just out of control good this year. So dangerous with what he's able to do. Patrick Mahomes has talent with his arm that I don't know if we've ever seen. You know, he reminds me of Aaron Rodgers, but obviously at this point, a much better version than the current Rodgers. Lamar Jackson is like Michael Vick fully realized. And Russell Wilson, I think Russell Wilson is going to be the standard to which we compare so many quarterbacks for so long, because not everybody can have what Lamar Jackson has, right? Like Lamar Jackson is an individual talent. He's so fast and so explosive that that's hard to replicate. Same goes with Patrick Mahomes. You know, he may have people emulating some of the throws he makes and the angles he takes, but you have to have a certain level of talent. Now, not to say Russell Wilson isn't supremely talented. Of course he's supremely talented. I mean, he's a baseball player and a football player at the highest level. I mean, the guy's a freak in that sense. But his style is more imitatable. You know, like, what is Russell Wilson? He's the master of improvisation. He's the guy who's rolling out and buying time and making plays that way. And I think we've already seen it. You know, we've seen him be the reason that Kyler Murray at his height could be taken where he was taken. And Kyler Murray had a good rookie year. I think Joe Burrow, you know, Joe Burrow's a lot bigger. He's 6'5", but who does he remind me of in the way he moves? Russell Wilson. You know, that ability to extend the play while also taking off the run and then getting down before you get hit. I mean, so yeah, if I'm choosing up quarterbacks for this playoffs, it's Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson without hesitation. And I think you might be right. Brady and Rodgers are near the bottom of that list. I mean, I had somebody tell me yesterday, Tom Brady's the worst quarterback in the playoffs, which I don't think I agree with, but the fact that you could even say it and not get like laughed out of the room, you know, I wouldn't hang up on you for saying it, which is crazy. Now, I don't think I could tell you that Josh Allen is better than Tom Brady yet, or that Kirk Cousins is better than Tom Brady or ever will be, or that Ryan Tannehill is better than Tom Brady, or maybe even Carson Wentz. But it's a conversation at this point, given where Brady is trending and his age. But yeah, when you know, it is a true maybe changing of the guard in real time, if you will, when you can have Tom Brady and Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers all in the same playoffs, and none of those guys would be in my top three playing. Three of the best quarterbacks who ever lived. You know, I would say all three of those guys are top 15 all-time quarterbacks at worst, right? And none of them would be the top three guys I would choose going into this weekend. I mean, Rodgers had a weird year. You would have never told me before the season the Packers would have the record they have and it wouldn't be behind a big-time Aaron Rodgers bounce-back season. Like he barely threw any of the interceptions, but he also didn't throw many touchdowns. Not explosive at all. I would have expected it if the Packers would have the record that they did. He would have had a huge MVP type of season. He wasn't even sniffing that conversation. Brady, we knew the end was coming at some point, and it's not here yet. Again, I won't write him off until he's done, but I'm also no longer considering Brady amongst the top quarterbacks in the league. And then Breeze, he was out for a while this year, hurt with that thumb injury. and is back and played well down the stretch. And I think he's on the best team. I think Breeze is playing on the best team of those guys, best all-around team. But even, you know, with that said, he had a very nice year. So of those three, I think Breeze is probably playing the best at this very moment. 855-212-4227. Will we look at this playoffs as, you know, that official page turn where we go from the greats of one generation, Brady, Breeze, Rodgers, to the greats of another generation in Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson? And then, again, Russell Wilson, he's in such a weird spot because I keep talking about him like he's in the same peer group as Jackson and Mahomes, when that's not, you know, the case at all. He's closer to the peer group of Brady and them, but he's sort of a bridge. He's the you know, between those two eras, because I mean Russell Wilson didn't start his career until 2012, so he still is relatively early in his career. It just feels like he's been there forever. And you look at what he's already accomplished. You know, he's on any list. Again, he's the guy I trust the most heading into this playoffs, and he's already one of the all-time greats, one of the best who ever did it, and a pioneer stylistically. We've seen a lot of people emulate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.